Well, one day the Sunday school class was about the Old Testament, and the teacher called upon little Johnny and said, "Johnny, who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" And Johnny panicked and said, "It wasn't me, I didn't do it." Well, the teacher was a little bit discouraged at this child's lack of faith, so when she ran into his mother at the grocery store later that afternoon, she explained that she asked Johnny, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" And he said it wasn't him. And then the mother responded, "If my boy says he didn't knock down that wall, then he didn't do it." So she was more concerned about the lack of knowledge of the Bible and the Catholic faith, so she went to visit the father at the home. So she knocked on the door, and the father invited her in, and the teacher explained what happened, how he had asked about Johnny knocking down the wall. He said he didn't do it. Then the mother said, "If my boy said he didn't do it, then he didn't do it." The father responded, "Look, I don't want any trouble. Just how much did this wall cost?" The sentence that I'd like to focus on today is from the second reading, and it has to do with knowing our faith and being able to explain the faith to those who ask us. The letter of St. Peter. St. Peter was our first pope. What did he say? "Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope." We call this Catholic apologetics. What is apologetics? It's explaining and defending our faith by using sacred scripture, church history, and good common sense. And this is so important for us as Catholics because we need to be able to know our faith and explain our faith. Our first Pope, St. Peter, tells us to always be ready and be able to explain the hope that is within us. So, what is apologetics? The word apologetics comes from a Greek word apologia, which means an explanation or an unfolding of what we believe. Now, there are three different kinds of apologetics. The first kind is called natural apologetics, and this is how we answer atheists and agnostics. Natural apologetics would be able to give us reasons why we believe in God. St. Thomas Aquinas's five proofs for the existence of God. The writings of C.S. Lewis and Peter Kreeft are very helpful in this, to give us reasons why we believe in God, philosophically and logically. Also, natural apologetics would include explaining the immortality of the soul, why we believe the soul is immortal. Then, after natural apologetics comes what's called Christian apologetics. This is how we would explain our basic Christian beliefs to those who are not Christian, maybe those in the Jewish faith, Muslim faith, Hindu faith, Buddhist. So this is called Christian apologetics. And here we would cover topics such as the divinity of Christ, why we believe Jesus is truly the Son of God. Also, it will be an unfolding of our belief in the resurrection, that Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead, and also the inerrancy and infallibility of sacred scripture. That's called Christian apologetics. But then there is this third, and for us the most important, is Catholic apologetics. And this is the basic teachings of our Catholic faith and how we explain them to our brothers and sisters of other Christian denominations, those who already believe in God, who believe in the immortality of the soul, who believe in the divinity of Christ, the resurrection, and the inerrancy of Scripture. What are the topics that we should delve into that would help us in regard to Catholic apologetics? And that would be, of course, the seven sacraments, where they are in Scripture, the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, why we go to confession to a priest, why we have a pope, why we honor Mary, why we honor and respect the saints, why we believe in purgatory. And so these are basically the most important topics when it comes to Catholic apologetics. Every Catholic should know at least a half a dozen verses of Scripture by heart that we can share with others. For example, let me just very quickly give you a couple sentences that every Catholic should remember when they're talking to our friends that might not be Catholic. For example, what about the Eucharist? Why do we believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, the big sentence to remember comes from the Last Supper. Jesus says, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." So right there in Scripture is why we believe it. Jesus said, "This is my body." He didn't say this reminds you of my body, this represents my body, this symbolizes my body. He didn't say any of those things. He said, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." Jesus is God. He cannot lie. He said it was his body and blood. We believe it. And that settles it as far as, you know, that's the most simple, clear explanation of why we believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Then you can go to John chapter 6, where on six different occasions, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day." So you can go to John chapter 6. But what about confession? What should we use for confession? Well, where is confession in the Bible? It's the night of the resurrection, where Jesus breathes on his apostles and says, "Whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you hold bound are held bound." So Jesus gave authority to his bishops, to his priests, to absolve sin in his name. Well, what about the Pope? Where is the Pope in the Bible? Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." But what about the Blessed Mother? Again, there's many passages. You could use Luke chapter 1, where the angel says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." See, we don't worship Mary. We honor her, we respect her, we love her as the mother of our Lord and the mother of each one of us. So you only need to know a few verses to be able to quote the reasons for what we believe, to give the reason for the hope that is within us. So every topic are explanations for our faith. But how should we share our faith? Well, the very next sentence tells us, "Always give a reason for the hope that is within you, but do it with gentleness and reverence." Gentleness and reverence. That's how we evangelize. We don't argue. We don't fight. We basically clear up misunderstandings. We clear up misconceptions that people have about what we believe and why we believe it. And we do it with gentleness, and we do it with reverence, which means respect. We respect other people's faith and other people's beliefs and religion. We never badmouth them. We never talk bad about them or their religion. We simply unfold the truths and the beauty of our Catholic faith. The beauty of Catholicism, our belief in Jesus Christ, the seven sacraments, the teachings of the Church. These are truths that really just have to be explained and cleared up in order for people to, I believe, see the beauty of our Catholic teaching regarding the Eucharist, our Blessed Mother, angels, saints, heaven, hell, purgatory. These things are all in the Bible, and we can explain them to others with humility, with charity, and with reverence. But first, of course, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. So what I would encourage you, there are many things that you can do to deepen your faith. The most important book you can read, of course, is the Bible. So read the Bible, Sacred Scripture, first and foremost. Second, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Universal Catechism, is wonderful in explaining the teachings of our faith with Sacred Scripture. And then pick up some good books on Catholic apologetics that explain what the Church teaches about these different topics. You might want to, next year in September, go through RCIA. You might already be a Catholic, but what a great way to go and just sort of audit the class and listen to the guest speakers and deepen your faith through RCIA. This parish also has a course called Landings. Landings is for those Catholics that may have drifted from their faith and want to come back and learn more and deepen their faith. What a wonderful program. I think it's like 8 weeks, and you can go through Landings and really deepen your faith. But take advantage of the guest speakers that we bring to St. Mary's. For example, the Institute of Catholic Culture is here a couple times a year. You could go to their wonderful talks. We have video series that Religious Ed runs while your children are in Religious Ed classes. You can go to listen to the video programs and watch them in Farrell Hall while your kids are learning their faith. You can deepen your faith about prayer, about the church, about church history, about books of the Bible. So that's another wonderful way to do it. You can come to our monthly patricians meeting that I guide, and it's a discussion group that I lead, and every month we pick a different topic on our Catholic faith. The next one in a few weeks will be, why does God allow suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? So that would be a good topic as well, and come every month to that. And lastly, pick up literature in the vestibule. Some of the pamphlets and booklets are wonderful back there. And the CDs from Catholic Lighthouse, they're available. Take them, listen to them in your car, give them to a friend, and always be ready to give an explanation for the hope that is within you.